Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
It's time for the church to acknowledge that we have brothers and sisters who are gay.
LGBTs have to find a household of worship that reflects what your views are and what you believe.
A gay person who still wants to attend church after the way the church has treated the gay community, I'm telling you, they have more faith than I do. They have more faith than a lot of you.
What's not loving is to look someone in the eye when God says they are in jeopardy of an eternity in hell and merely wink and nod at their sin because you're afraid of being called names.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Sorry, but you might need a bath after this broadcast. This is Wretched Radio. Despite the protestations of liberals who protesteth, apparently they read a lot of Shakespeare. They protesteth that the slope doesn't slip, but you and I know better. When it comes to sin, it's never static. It will always want more and more and more because it's a liar and it loves to have the last laugh. And oh, it continues to work so hard to get it. And it's willing to go to the very bottom of the barrel to achieve its goal of deceiving people, marring the image of God in human beings. And if you will, taking a pot shot at heaven. Not a successful pod shot, but an effort nevertheless. The subject, of course, would be pornography, a slew. And when I say slew, I mean like slew of articles responding to a Guardian report that brought forth some statistics from different surveys indicating pornography leads to pedophilia. We'll sanitize the details because even in, I was reading an article from Nicholas Kristof in the New York Times. He was also been on the banning of pornography because of the depravity that it leads to just gets more and more twisted and grotesque. And I was like, you didn't have to tell us. They use words at these porn sites to help you find whatever your fetish is. And I don't even want to... I'll repeat a couple only to give you an idea of how depraved these websites and that entire industry is. My apologies in advance because these are not dirty words, but what they imply. Oh, Mancilla. Search words. Grandfather and granddaughter. Okay, I think we've had enough of that. And that is why in reading a number of these articles, it required a hot shower afterwards because just reading about it makes you feel downright dirty. Well, imagine what it's doing to the people who are consuming it. From The Guardian, the growing phenomenon of men who do not have the profile of a typical pedophile. Nonetheless, they're being arrested for viewing and possessing child abuse material. By the way, this is a summary of the report from firstthings.com. They grew in their desire for more and more perverse and twisted content. So they didn't start out looking like a pedophile, but that's what they became. And that is where the slippery slope of sin leads so many of these men. They ended up viewing child pornography when their addictions escalated and spiraled out of control. Might I just reject that language? That their addictions spiraled out of control? An addiction doesn't make you do anything. Greg Giffert talks about this. By the way, his new book, Lies My Therapist Told Me, selling like gangbusters, which is awesome because it is a real... I think exposing of the secular therapeutic, and it reveals this. We've been listening to experts who have no idea what they're talking about when it comes to mental health. And the Bible has better answers. By the way, if you've already ordered and read the book, would you be kind enough to put up, if you thought it was a good book, would you put up a good review? That just helps it to reach more and more people. Greg Giffert, the author of Lies My Therapist Told Me, I think maybe even did it here on Wretched Radio. Alcoholism doesn't make you drive to the liquor store and shop and find your favorite bottle, bring it to the register, get your credit card out, and then drive home. Your addiction doesn't make you put it into a glass if you take the time to do that and then guzzle it down. An addiction doesn't make you do that. You make you do that. You're not addicted. You're enslaved. And the same thing with pornography. People aren't addicted. Now, this article, even in The Guardian and all of the different major networks or the different media outlets have been talking about the dopamine effect and how, you know, you've got to have more and more dopamine. And while I don't doubt that that's a part of it, it still doesn't make you do it. You do not have to click that button. Your supposed addiction, biblical language would be enslavement. It doesn't make you fire up your computer and go searching for filthy things. You choose to do that because you're enslaved to pornography. One person in this Guardian report, quote, "I didn't start out wanting to see kids. I was addicted to porn and I went down a road of being totally desensitized as I got further and further from what was normal." Yep. That would be the modus operandi of sin, and you can bank on it, sir. If you are looking at porn, you're saying, "Oh, not, no, come on." Apparently, that's what a lot of guys used to say. And now they're being arrested, and a lot, I think I read the number, over 800 men are being arrested in the UK alone every month because of child porn images. I'll bet they didn't start out. In fact, if I recall the statistic, it was out of 1,000 men, about half of them, it was a little bit more, said that they never thought they had these inclinations toward children, but nevertheless, they were arrested and put in jail for it. And they literally were like, "I didn't even realize I was doing..." Now, whether they're being truthful or not, I don't know. I'm just telling you what a lot of people are stating in these reports. "I didn't even know what, because I thought, you know, it's legal. You can watch it on a bus, so why can't I be... Why?" And now I'm being arrested for it. "I didn't start out looking at that stuff, but it just led me there." That is what pornography does. And if you're consuming it in any measure, you're going to go there too. You will. And by the way, maybe it's not in the direction of young children, but it'll become more twisted. And it tends to also become more violent. That is another one of those keywords that you can type in to find this sort of stuff. So just, I don't even want to repeat them because it just... But you can go searching for violent porn. Now, Pornhub would tell you, "Oh no, we make sure that there's no such thing." But as this report reveals, that is not their concern or their care. Christoph tackles that also in the New York Times. That, for instance, one of the videos that should have been taken down because it was child porn didn't get taken down until it had been viewed 680 million times. One of the videos had 16 complaints before it was taken down. These companies, I'm sorry, they don't care, clearly. Why would we expect people who are cranking out this bilge of disgusting filth, why would we think that they have any care or concern for children or adults or being honest? They don't. Back to first things. A growing body of research is beginning to warn of how problematic porn habits can be a pathway into viewing images of kids being abused. And the explosion of extreme content, including child abuse imagery, is not merely feeding a demand, but it's fueling one. The more you watch, the more you need, and it's got to get worse and worse and worse. They crave the dopamine hit because they like the buzz. And so what happens? Just like with anything, you get used to it, don't you? And then you need more and more, which is why I'm close to putting 2 sticks of butter on my popcorn at night instead of just one. You just need more. Ditto porn. The Finnish group Protect Children profiled 4,500 anonymous child sexual abuse offenders and found that not only was pornography a key facilitating factor, but over 50% first saw child abuse material when they were not seeking it. Pornhub, this is as of May 2020, had 706,000 videos available that had been flagged by users for depicting rape or assaults on children or other problems. Christoph reports that in 2020, underage turned up in 183,301 videos on the site. That's disgusting. There are 183,000 underage, perverted, illegal, abusive videos hosted on a website? And we might, like some legislatures and some Christians currently are saying, hey, this is, we got to get rid of this stuff. It's really, really bad for people. I think the Christian church has a different message. This stuff needs to go away because it's violently, disgustingly sinful. And yet, does it hurt people? Of course it does. It hurts everybody. It mars the image of every single human being who's made in the image of God. This stuff is nasty. 183,000 videos? How's about 155,000 of them had the keyword 12YO? Disgusting. This is Wretched Radio.
The world says you're broken, a victim of chemical imbalance, just another diagnosis and a long list of mental health labels. But what if they're wrong about you? What if there's a completely different perspective? Dr. Greg Gifford, a Fortis Institute fellow, is challenging everything you've been told about mental health. In our exclusive forum, Psychology versus Scripture, The Truth About Mental Health, Dr. Gifford will reveal why the Bible never describes anxiety, depression, or emotional struggles as diseases, but instead offers a framework of sin, suffering, and sanctification. You're not defined by psychiatric terminology, and there is a path to true transformation that medication alone cannot provide. Join us for an eye-opening Fortis Forum that will help you break free from worldly definitions and find lasting peace in Christ. You can watch this Fortis Forum available right now for free at FortisPlus.org. That's FortisPlus.org. Your journey to true transformation begins right now.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
For 25 years, Fortis Institute has been building something powerful, a reservoir of biblical truth deep enough to change lives and strong enough to transform churches. But we've realized something very profound. Truth was never meant to be contained. It was meant to flow freely, reaching every single person, every hungry heart, every searching mind. And that's why we're doing something unprecedented. We're breaking the dam. Truth Unhindered isn't just a campaign name. It's our vision for the future. It's about removing every barrier between solid teaching and those who need it the most. We have extraordinary plans for the second half of 2025, but to make this moment possible, we need your partnership now more than ever. Right now, through the end of June, every gift you give will be matched. Your generosity today becomes a flood of truth tomorrow. Just visit FortisInstitute.org/truth right now before June 30th and help us break the dam and let the truth flow unhindered. FortisInstitute.org/truth.
Mexican. Providence is the word we use to describe God's preserving, upholding, and governing of His creation. God sustains His creation day to day through ordinary means established at the beginning of time, and He intervenes in miraculous ways. In all things, God is working for His glory and for the good of those who love Him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Keep that warm water running. You're going to need it. This is Wretched Radio. Sorry, we do not like... No, we won't talk explicitly, but the very subject that we're addressing today because of the number of news outlets that are reporting on the depravity of pornography and how it ultimately leads to pedophilia... I'm afraid we need to talk about this. We must. We're the church. We should. We're the only ones who can say what we should be doing with this stuff and why. This is an international problem, to be certain, but let's just deal with what's on our own back door. And that is a whole lot of depravity going on. And so much of it these days is being perpetrated against children. Get ready for this. By children. It's kids that are molesting kids. Not entirely, but in great part. This is an article from KSHB.com. It's a news outlet in Kansas City. The hospital there is called Children's Mercy, says they're seeing a disturbing trend in child sexual assault cases. But it's kids that are abusing kids. Almost half of our perpetrators are minors. This is disgusting, but it's also, this needs to be broadcast. This is where pornography has taken us. This is where our society has wanted to go, and we have arrived. We're not at our final destination. Believe me, it's going to get worse. It is, we don't know how bad it's going to get. I don't know if I've ever mentioned this, but if you go back and you read the, would it be the Talmud, the Mishnah, in talking about some of the rabbinical writings, Jewish rabbinical writings about the days of Noah and how depraved it was like debauchery central. It was like Las Vegas, what goes on behind closed doors without the doors was being done in public. It can get really publicly raunchy because That's what we're prone toward as fallen human beings. That's what pagans do. They act like, well, you know, pagans. Just read, Jimmy, I don't know if you covered this story or not. In Minnesota, my understanding is a woman was walking around with nothing on her top. Mm. Got arrested. And the judge determined, you're good to go. Because it's just prudish to say that's somehow bad for society or inappropriate. Because men can walk around with their shirts off. And so now in Minnesota, they have a court case where a woman can walk around without her clothing on top. There's going to be more of that to follow. Honestly, I've commented many times to Mrs. Friel, I'm actually shocked that it isn't more perverted in public than it currently is, that there's any sort of decorum whatsoever. That can only be the restraining hand of God that is keeping back the tidal wave of from public view that curbs behavior? Is it the conscience of people? I don't know. When you read these statistics of the kiddie porn videos, that there's hundreds of thousands of them on Pornhub site, I guess that's the big one. There's others, but they're the biggie. Hundreds of thousands of them? Ay, ay, ay. And those are people who made movies. How's about the people that are just doing that and they don't record it to put it up for cash? Well, guess what? A lot of the people doing that are children. Doing that to children. From the article from Kansas City. The perpetrators of those who commit sexual abuse against a child between 11 and 15 years old. 11 and 15. Let's do some math. We'll do basic math because, well, that's about all I'm capable of. Let's say a kid starts watching porn at 8. Okay, you said that's too young. It's not, but okay, that's what they're doing these days. Let's say 10. Can we say 10? 20-year-old has been watching it for a decade. 20-year-old, 10 years. Not a little, a lot. daily. Some of these guys in these stories about the Pornhub business from the Guardian article that kicked all of this off, that 5 hours a day, 5 hours a day. Incidentally, there was another article out of the UK that tried to do a comparison, like a graph of the production of young men when it comes to work and output. It is just trailed off immensely as porn and video games, but mostly porn and video games, have been increasingly consuming the time of these young men. It just drains the life out of them. And they don't want to do anything but sit there and watch their dirty videos. Last year, Children's Mercy, the hospital in Kansas City, saw 1,000 kids that were abused that reported it after 5 days. Another 444 who were sexually abused within the last 5 days. That's at one hospital in Kansas City. Sit down for this. Victims are most likely girls around 4 to 8 years old. Where's the outrage? Where are the pastors being outraged? Oh, wait. Most of them are not. Why? Because what do you know? Survey says they're consuming it too. Not all of them, but the majority are. The majority of pastors are consuming pornography. They can't preach past their conscience on this one. How am I going to ever judge anybody for their sexual depravity when, well, you know, I watch a little bit of it myself. Nurses are finding more and more that pornography is playing a role in these cases because these kids, these boys start watching it and the engine is revving. And what do? They find the nearest object. All too often, their little sisters. This is a national scourge. They're noticing kids are being exposed to porn at very young ages, around 4 to 5 years old, and they're exposed to violent, graphic porn. 25% of all sex crimes are committed by minors. 80% of the 15 most viewed films portray women being hit, spit on, kicked, and called degrading names. And so many, I can't remember the other report we talked about, I think a few weeks ago, the number of girls who the first time that they were kissed were also strangled. What is that about? Oh, apparently that's what they do in these porn movies. The dude strangles the woman. And we put it up on websites, you know, in our government. Quite honestly, I have very few expectations they're going to do anything about it, but the church should. And the church needs to be talking about this sin a lot. Pastors need to be bringing up this subject from the pulpit more than they likely are. Pastor, as godly of a church as you believe you have, and I don't doubt that there's plenty of godly men, there are many that are simply drowning in this smut. And families are getting wrecked, and lives are being destroyed, and young men find themselves lethargic, and as these reports indicate, dysfunctional in the very act that they so desire doing virtually. This is, and now we're discovering that older brothers are abusing younger sisters, and that 25% of all sexual abuse cases against minors are committed by minors? This has got to stop. Let me return for just a moment to the First Things article. Do we want to live in a society where it is normative for children to be exposed to extreme porn before puberty and their libidos wired to respond to sexual violence? See, I would go a step further. Do we want to be a society that enables any of this? That doesn't denounce this? That doesn't, I know this word isn't popular, shame this behavior? This requires, this is shameful. Anybody who's engaged in this should be like, anybody who's watching it, and then they should just feel totally ashamed. And by the way, most of them do, which is why in July, not yet, but in July, we're going to be making an effort to get to the campuses with our booklet. I wrote a new booklet called Play the Man. It's not out yet, but we're going to give away these cards where the kids can access it on their phone and read the booklet for free because they're just wallowing in sin and guilt and shame. They're lethargic. Their life feels bleak. They're just dying. and we want to bring them the words of life. We'll let you know more about that in July. Those booklets will be free. Thanks to our gospel partners and all the people who are supporting us in the Truth Unhindered campaign, which is still going on, by the way. It's a match campaign, so we can give everything away. We currently give away so much. We want to give all of our resources away, all the Sunday school curriculum, the whole shebang. We would just want to give everything away. Need to replace that revenue, and that is where the Truth Unhindered campaign comes in. It's a match campaign. If you would please consider helping us in that regard, we just want to give away more and more stuff, and we're going to be reaching these kids on the campuses in the fall. We'll start the campaign in July. You can find out more at fortisinstitute.org/truth. Yeah, truth. Where almost a quarter of adult American women reportedly felt scared during sex due to porn-inspired violence like choking. Where underage porn users are increasingly abusing other children. Do we want to be a nation like that? And the answer to that question should be an emphatic, absolutely not. And the loudest voice must be the church. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. The battle for basic biology continues in Canada, where Ontario's appeals court will decide whether the city of Hamilton can ban a simple bus advertisement that declares woman an adult female. The Christian Heritage Party of Canada fought for their right to state biological reality in 2023, only to have city officials reject the ad after consulting with an LGBT group who claimed such truth-telling would pose a risk to transgender people. Yeah, apparently, acknowledging that women exist is now considered dangerous. The city's rejection letter actually admitted the party had charter rights to free speech, but decided conservative values were grounds enough for censorship. Meanwhile, in Wisconsin, Democrats are doubling down on their war against motherhood itself, introducing the Marriage and Family Equality Act that scrubs the word mother from state law and replaces it with pregnant person. Yeah, while families are struggling with inflation and crumbling infrastructure, Wisconsin Democrats apparently believe their top priority is erasing women from the legal vocabulary. The courage to stand for truth was on full display at Oregon State Track Championships, where two high school seniors, Alexa Anderson and Reese Eckerd, turned their backs on the medal ceremony rather than celebrate alongside a biological male competitor. One of the girls put it perfectly, saying, quote, "We didn't refuse to stand on the podium out of hate. We did it because someone has to say this isn't right." President Trump continues cleaning house of Biden-era ideological enforcers, firing National Portrait Gallery director Kim Sagan for her highly partisan push of DEI initiatives from her position overseeing America's presidential portraits. Sagan spent her tenure focused on language justice and promoting art based on ideology rather than excellence. Speaking of institutional capture, here's a stunning revelation. Xi Jinping's daughter graduated from Harvard. I don't think that surprises me and probably shouldn't surprise you either. She graduated in 2014 with a psychology degree, living under a pseudonym to hide her communist dictator lineage. Whether she's remained in America isn't the point. The fact that we welcome the daughter of our chief global adversary into one of our most elite institutions, well, it was recently one of our most elite institutions, not so much these days, but it just speaks volumes about how deeply compromised our educational establishment has become. The culture's shifting, folks. Though slowly, a new Gallup poll shows Republican support for same-sex marriage dropping from 55 to 41% in just 3 years, the largest partisan gap since polling began in 1996. This comes as President Trump weighs whether former First Lady Jill Biden should testify about her role in covering up her husband's cognitive decline. Trump expressed reluctance, calling it the wife of a man going through a lot of problems. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can also subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. A Good Shepherd protects, directs, provides, and cares for his sheep. Jesus laid down his life for his sheep. No one can snatch them out of his hand. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
There's only one ultimate solution, but there are some things we could do. This is Wretched Radio. Hey, careful watching the Masterpiece Theater TV. We get BBC stuff in our cable system because we dig foreign stuff. Because even if a movie is mediocre, it's like, oh, cool. I felt like I've been to Tuscany or Poland or wherever the movie. We'll even read the subtitles and watch the movie in a foreign language because it just feels like a cultural experience. So we got the Masterpiece Theater thing, BBC, whatever the channel is. This was Masterpiece Theater. This was on PBS. It was Marie Antoinette. And we thought, cool. And we looked at the picture of the thumbnail that they gave you. And it's like, oh, wow, it looks like they spent a lot of money. This should be really good. A historical drama. There couldn't possibly be any filthy images or dirty deeds done in a Marie Antoinette movie. I think the thing said 12 plus. And within minutes, it's like, where's the clicker? Get this thing off of it. And it wasn't subtle what they were doing. It was like, what? 12 plus? Are you kidding me? And that's BBC Masterpiece Theater. What I'm trying to say is we are awash in pornography in our Western civilization. I shouldn't say that. It's global. Why? Because people's sexual drives so often override their any semblance of morality. And they're willing to look at these images like peeping toms. There was an article that I just read. I didn't mark it up and bring it in. But the title was something like, the church needs to get over its obsession with Hollywood, that we're willing to watch people do the deeds that we would denounce. We're willing to let people say the words that you and I would call blasphemy, and we consume it as if it's not really happening. And I think one of the points in this particular article was that we don't think that it's just acting. Well, no, somebody's actually saying it. There's really a person there. And even if it's just an actor, it's still sinfulness is being portrayed. It's sort of like, and I've been reading about this too. This whole subject is so tawdry. AI porn. That it's not even real. The proliferation of that, apparently it's exploded on the internet and it's porn via AI. So it's not real humans, but it's porn. So you can say, well, it's not real people. Nobody's getting hurt. Well, first of all, somebody's making that trash. You're being hurt by it, but that's not the big issue. Remember, the big issue is not the damage that it does. The big issue is what it is. And a violation of God's standard for human flourishing, for what is best for us. He knows it's terrible. God isn't reading The Guardian and The New York Times and going, oh, pornography, it's had a really bad effect. Ooh, that's not a good thing. He knows that. Why? Because he only prescribes that which is good for us. One man, one woman, lifelong covenantal relationship. That's what's best for you. You want human flourishing? And incidentally, over and over again, we read that those couples that participate in God's program, happier in every room in the house. Why? Because God's ways are better ways. And we as a society have chosen low ways, tawdry ways. Yeah, they're damaging ways, but they're sinful ways. And I was given this some thought. Now, this is not the solution, but I think one of the contributing factors to the stunning amount of pornography that's downloaded and consumed by young men, I think it's related to marriage. I think it's related to when people are getting married. Just to return to math for a moment, if some dude has been watching porn since he's 10, now he's 20, he's 10 years into it, most likely has lost interest in human relationships because that's what porn does to a man. It desensitizes. The preference is to be alone than to be with a woman. That's what it does to you. 10 years of that. Then they're 25. 15 years of that. I think the average age of getting married now, are we in our 40s yet, Jimmy, for getting married? Are we at 30 yet?
We might be.
Might be. SPAI machine. I bet we're close to 30, if not over it already. So these guys have been looking at porn for 20 years. And now they're being brought under the same roof to love, honor, and cherish a woman, to play the role of Jesus Christ, and to be giving as opposed to taking in every regard. You think that's going to work out for them? They don't want it. That's too hard. Porn is easy. It demands nothing. Marriage does. No, marriage is more rewarding in every regard, but it demands a lot. It demands that you basically die to self and you play your role as Jesus or the church. By the way, to help you do that, Brad Bigney's podcast, it is called Thrive. You won't do better when it comes to helping your marriage be all that it should be. It is an awesome podcast. You can find it wherever your podcast. It's Thrive with Brad Bigney. Men who are wired, totally rewired in the worst possible ways because of pornography, they don't want marriage. And I would suggest, as a society and as the church, we start promoting marriage younger than older. Jimmy, what'd you come up with on the AI machine?
All right. So as of last year, the average age in the U.S. that men get married, 30.2, and women, 28.6.
Boy, that's...
Contrast that with 1960. The average age for men getting married was 22.8.
Yep.
And women, 20.3.
From John Stone Street, this was most likely a Breakpoint article, but it was reprinted in Christian Post. Popular wisdom on early marriages is mostly wrong. There's skepticism about young marriage. This is from John Stone Street. And it's propped up by a whole host of false assumptions. It leads to higher rates of divorce. Young adults need to establish a career first, or they should be financially independent before seeking a spouse. And so well-meaning people drop nuggets of popular wisdom like, there's no rush. You got your whole life ahead of you. Well, at 30, you don't. In fact, you're getting close to about half of your life being gone. You should find yourself before settling down. Or, of course, you need to experiment sexually before you commit to just one person. That's the wisdom of the world right there. And John Stone Street, number of surveys revealing all of that is wrong. That it is good. It's actually better to get married younger. Now, as a society, we can determine what that younger is. But please remember that these norms that we have created for what 18 is an adult, that is not the way we've always viewed it. If you go back to Bible days, people got married at a very young, like early teens. Why? Well, because they were capable of making a family and staying alive. Why? Because their society was such that it demanded hard work out of the womb. That's just what you do. You have to get on. Survival is a big thing, and doing it with somebody is a whole lot easier than doing it by themselves. And so they got together early. And I think also a part of this is sexual drive. It kicks in and it's increasingly early. Whatever is in the water, RFK should be doing some studies on that. Well, why these kids are beginning puberty at such a young age? It's going down and down and down. So I'm not suggesting we return to Bible days, but I am saying 30 and 28? Back to John Stone Street. Research from the National Marriage Project at the University of Virginia showed there's no significant difference in reported marital satisfaction or divorce rates between earlier marriages. Huh? What do you know? It's a lie that they tend to get divorced more. Later marriages are considered after 25. Younger marriages are 20 to 24. By several important measures, earlier marriages have an advantage over those begun in the late 20s or beyond. Oh, you don't say. A study found spouses who married earlier reported higher rates of, and this is the list in the order that it's presented, sexual satisfaction. What do you know? They don't have a decade of dirty images and just baked into their brains. They've been doing that together. Earlier marriages appear to have long-term financial benefits. Married men earn more. Even when controlling for household size and education, Married men have 40% more household income than their unmarried peers and are half as likely to live in poverty. Some suggesting it's because the responsibility norms associated with marriage mean that married men work harder, smarter, and more responsibly. In other words, it grows you up and it demands things of you. And guess what? Then those desires and urges can be satisfied rightly with your one woman. And then this article also goes on to say that earlier marriages, it's a good idea because they build their lives, their finances, their dreams together, triumphs, failures, because marriage is the foundation of their life. Instead of uni being the cornerstone, instead of having so much money in the bank being the cornerstone, how's about this? Marriage is the cornerstone. Aim for that, dude. Get on it. You'll be glad you did. And so will the rest of society. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink, but what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this. You're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young man struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. Marriage, parenting, mental health, cultural engagement. The challenges facing today's Christians aren't getting any simpler. But at Fortis Institute, we believe God's word provides the clarity you need. That's why we brought together some of Christianity's most trusted voices under one roof. If you want practical marriage wisdom, Brad Bigney's Thrive podcast delivers biblical solutions that work. If you're struggling with anxiety or depression, Greg Gifford's Transformed brings biblical counseling straight to your ears. And if you're looking for authentic manhood, Adam Tyson's Way of Manhood cuts through the cultural noise. Plus, get daily insights from our team of fellows, including exclusive Gary Varvel cartoons that'll make your day. This isn't just another ministry. It's your daily source for biblical strength and wisdom. And if you want to stay informed about private events and exclusive content, become a Fortis Insider today, all at FortisInstitute.org. Fortis Institute, because standing firm doesn't mean standing alone. You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at FortisInstitute.org/lies. That's FortisInstitute.org/lies.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Rohi. The Lord is my shepherd. A good shepherd protects, directs, provides, and cares for his sheep. Jesus called himself the good shepherd, who lays his life down for his sheep. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Did I say capstone or cornerstone? This is Wretched Radio. I may have slipped a biblical word in place of a secular term. Capstone, that's the thing you got to achieve. That's the ideal, man. You've got to get that, and then your identity is secure and your reputation is solid because you've achieved the capstone. I think I was saying cornerstone. which of course we all know, first of all, isn't Peter, it's Jesus. That's a different word than capstone. And these capstones are created by society. Who determines what is the thing that we are supposed to achieve so that we can be esteemed well in the eyes of our culture? And the answer is our culture. We do. And those capstones over the years have changed. Why? Because they used to be more biblically informed. The Bible used to set the capstone here, and in every regard, by the way. Capstone in Christianity, probably another word for sanctification. God determines, this is what's beautiful. He's not knocked out by externals. He loves the internals, a quiet and gentle spirit. Those are the things that God delights in. And he's not knocked out by looks. The world is. They make looks the capstone. God says, no, I'm looking at your character. I'm looking at who you are on the inside. I'm looking at your heart. God is the one who makes these decisions. What does it mean to be a success? Well, today it would be that you're making lots of money and you're providing a lot for your spouse and for your kids. Is that God's definition of making it? The answer is absolutely not. Are we responsible to provide for our families? We most certainly are, but that's not the capstone. He wants godly men who love, cherish, protect, defend, and nurture their wives and children and lead them to love Jesus more. That's a man. Our world is not the pace setter. At least it shouldn't be. And marriage used to be the capstone. You got married. That's the big thing. Not that you go to university and then you get your master's degree. Oh, you got your doctorate. Well, you've really capstoned. Or you're a doctor. Ooh, now look, I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with pursuing those things. Although I'm really a big fan of the trades. I think Fox was just doing a report on the trades and the number of Gen Zers that are going, yeah, I'll take that. They don't want to go to university. They can't stand the indoctrination. They don't like the idea of the massive debt. They don't like having to spend 2 years studying stuff they have zero interest in so that they can then finally get to what they think is going to be their major, although that changes 16 times. So they're rejecting it and they're going for the trades. And to that I say, awesome. There again is another societal peer pressure. What's the better route? The trades or university? I will tell you. Even now, mostly people would say university, but people are starting to wake up and go, wait a second. You mean you can be safe from AI in the trades? That isn't such a bad thing after all. The culture, it exerts a lot of pressure on us to determine what we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to pursue. Now, just as a nota bene, please remember there's Christian liberty in all these things. So I'm not suggesting this is what you got to do. I'm just saying the Bible needs to inform what we should be doing and what we should be pursuing. And marriage is one of those things. Marriage is a good thing. And our culture is doing everything to undermine that and to detach, courtesy of second wave feminism, to detach the procreative act with the procreative consequence. Now, third wave feminism, which says that we're detached even from our gender and from our sexuality. Jimmy, I don't know that I mentioned this. I've been musing about this. How culture detaches us from what I call touchstones. Mm-hmm. Okay, what's a touchstone? Family. Family is a touch. You have your family. Even when you're 18, you're out of the nest. It's like, okay, that's like a safe place for me. That's like, those people love me. They're going to take care of me. And what is the culture doing these days? It's telling the kids, you got to cut yourself off from the parents. And what does that do to the kids? It just leaves them dangling out there. And Jimmy, I think this video that's in the thingy file right now,
yeah,
it's about, okay, we've talked about this 100 times here. The number of kids who are cutting off their parents. So this guy actually makes a video in response to those of us who are critiquing the cutting off of parents.
There's an increase in the number of people cutting off their parents, but there's one thing I've noticed about this trend. Has anybody else noticed that when an adult child chooses not to have a relationship with a parent, it's always, but it's your mom and dad. You only get one mom and dad.
Yep.
Why are you doing that?
Yeah, because they've been indoctrinated to think that their parents are narcissistic, toxic, terrible people who still want to control them and not let them be their authentic self. Are there some stinker parents? Of course there are. But I have seen lovely parents cut off by their kids, and this guy ain't helping.
And it's never, wow, what could a parent have done to cause their child to make this decision but feel like it was the right one?
Here's some of the things that they do. Hey, don't drink and drive. No, you're trying to control me. Hey, I don't know that that's a good person to be spending time with. Oh, you're toxic. That's what I've observed as the trend. Good Christian parents being cut off for very poor reasons. Could there ever be a time for a kid to cut off their parent? Sure. But I would suggest it's the exception, not the rule.
It's never what happened that made a grown adult feel like the need to walk away from the people who raised them.
And let's talk
never,
about that.
But they're your children. How can you treat them that way?
Okay. If a child is being abused by parents, we're all over that. Most Christian parents, they're not that. And it's the culture that has informed the kids that these parents are overbearing, narcissistic bullies who want to control you, and you got to cut the parental puppet strings in order to live your authentic self. And it's a horrible trend. And it removes one of those, what I'm calling a touchstone. Church is another one. But I was also, Jimmy, I don't know if I mentioned this, the transgender thing.
Uh-huh.
We were out in public, and there was a boy who was pretending to be a girl, thinking, of course, that he's the gender that he's not. And then I was reading that on the, it was us, in some country, you can change your name three times. Three times. Because you're Sally, then you're Sammy, then you're back to Sarah or whatever you want. So you can change your name. We're cutting people off from the touchstone of their very being, their gender. We're even telling people, you're not even connected to your name anymore. You can change it. It means nothing. A name. It was just imposed upon you by your parents. You can make it whatever you want. And all the strings are getting cut. All of the things that tether us to solid things and to stability, they're being cut. And they're being cut too, by the way, inside of Christendom when people are saying, hey, Daddy-O, church is wherever you want it to be. And it's just me and Jesus. And I watch John MacArthur on YouTube on Sunday morning. You're getting cut off from a touchstone. Church is good for you. And it grounds people and it helps people to be secure and to feel like, okay, I got a little shalom going on here because I've got my touchstones in place. Snip, snip, snip goes the culture. Cutting them all off, all of them off. And I think we're seeing it, aren't we? We're seeing a society that has totally altered the norms and determined very bad capstones. And the results are in. We don't need to wait another generation. We've got all the statistics that we need to see that anxiety, depression, loneliness, fear, guilt, shame, all of it compounded. Why? Well, because society now determines the capstones. And I think there is a good trend right now that a lot of people are starting to at least recognize that. And then, you know, some of the social influencers, they're starting to see, secularism has not served us well. What did used to serve us well? Oh, Christianity, that's intriguing. And unfortunately, too often they look at it as if it's some sort of worldview that can be implemented because it has good effects. That ain't what Christianity is about. Christianity does have good effects, even if you're not a believer, because you're becoming more in alignment with the reality that God has defined and created, but it doesn't make you better. It doesn't really bring a peace that surpasses all understanding. It doesn't bring shalom. It doesn't bring joy. It might bring some happiness to you. You got to become a Christian to really experience the Christian fruit. And our society right now is saying, run as fast and as far away from that Christianity thing as you can. Now, I'm glad that these social influencers are saying we should give Christianity another look, but if they're simply using it as some sort of a crutch or a prop in order to attain a better life, that ain't what Christianity is really about. It's been too long that our society has determined capstones. And I do believe right now people are interested in hearing why Christianity, the Bible, and God himself is the better determiner of what is indeed a capstone. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.